Over the past 9 months, our fellowship has explored what the eighth principle means with book discussions, services, written articles. We've continued to educate ourselves about racism and barriers to inclusion, both as individuals and as a congregation. Today, Joan Carolyn and others will reflect on what it means as a fellowship to be anti-racist and inclusive. Well, yesterday we held a workshop, and again it was titled, What Does the Eighth Principle Mean to Us as Unitarians? An Invitation to a Shared Journey, Principle Journey. It was a moment. It was a wonderful workshop. And it was a moment to be together, to reflect, and to share animated discussions. So, before we have the opportunity to hear Joan Carroll offer her reflections and some thoughts on the workshop, we're going to begin with two other people, the first one being Jacob, and then myself. So I'd like to first ask Jacob if he would come and speak.
All right, thank you. The workshop was, among many other things, I think I could call it productive, and it very much was. It was enlightening. But I think most of all, it was very hopeful. And I think that a few of us shared that feeling on the day itself. But I'd like to reiterate that now. You know, in retrospect, you know, we spent a lot of time. It wasn't spent, you know, going over the text of the eighth principle and picking out word by word, because we didn't need to do that. Innately, we all have an understanding of community and of what it means to come together as one to help each other in that aspect. So instead, our discussion came to the concrete. You know, how do we actually go about helping each other, right? Helping each other to eliminate these systemic barriers, not just for ourselves, but for those non-Unitarians in Regina, those other groups whom we might be able to attach ourselves to help. There were many suggestions. There were many discussions. But we all had a shared purpose, and none of us questioned that. We all, I think, share that commitment unquestionably, and that was really touching. And that's something that can be really rare to find. During the workshop, I was only a part of one small group. You know, I don't know the discussions that happened with everyone else. But what I found really interesting was that among all of us, among every group, completely independent of each other, we touched upon many common bases. And when we came to share our ideas, many of us found value in each other's words. We're all in everything we do together. And there was a recognition of that and a willingness to act on it. So I'll close out with that. But I'd just like to say that it was a very positive experience, and that I think that it's the first of, you know, not just the first, it's one in a long line of experiences and moments and events that further our cause as a community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jacob. Well, it's interesting because I definitely share some of the same thoughts as Jacob does. I maybe wanted to just add a couple of things. So I had been certainly one of the many people who was involved in organizing this, and I knew of some of the text that was going to be coming forward, and yet at the same time, I still had this idea in my head that we would be talking maybe about privilege and power and biases, and we would be maybe even noticing our own discomfort and, you know, areas when we get our beliefs challenged. And yet, what happened instead was that we focus more on welcoming. And as soon as the focus shifts to welcoming, anything that gets in the way as a barrier to welcoming is then something that just will get dealt with. But we move in the direction of welcoming. And along with that, there were two tools that we could be reminded of that we already had, and one of them was the power of networking within our community and outside our community, and the power of gratitude. So those were a couple of things that I found. I felt that, again, I could be reminded of tools that I already had in order to continue on this journey, and at the same time, the direction was towards welcoming. And I really enjoy that direction. So out of it, there really was a wish to have some concrete practices. And if they are not mentioned, maybe next, but they will be found out shortly. Okay. So with that, then, I would like to then go to Joan. Okay. Thank you very much. Did you want to, Claire? We have one more possibility here. In terms of welcoming, there are always other concepts that come up, and we may have a chance for Claire to share that one a bit. Okay.
I'm sure Joan is going to talk.
Shorter?
I'm sure Joan is going to talk about getting us all to participate in this discussion that we had. I just like to raise a couple of specific things that came up that struck my heart as actions that we can take that are would be useful in terms of making us more welcoming. So one of the things we talked about was seeing ourselves as the other. The people coming in are not other, but if we can put ourselves in those in their shoes and recognize that we are the other to them, and so it can change so that when we're welcoming people, we want to welcome them as from their culture, from their ideas, from where they come from, and as make that as part of us. So we are the others. Something else that we talked about in terms of helping us confront our own racism, our own prejudices with different groups is one of the things that I learned about earlier, and that is the what the Unitarian youth use regularly in their conversations with each other, and that's the oops and ouch. And so rather than spending 10 minutes apologizing, and, oh, I didn't mean to say that, and that really wasn't what I meant, and when we make a mistake, we can just say, oops, and then carry on from there. Or if we've been offended by something that someone has said, rather than stay silent or try to get into it, we can simply say, ouch. And this helps flag for us when what we're saying may be a microaggression, may be something that someone else has taken as offensive. So I really like those terms, and I hope we can get into using them. We talked about specific things, like there's a program CUC has put together on how to welcome youth. And that also was one of our focuses, was on youth and the importance of reaching out to youth and bringing them in. And another idea we talked about that I really liked was committing ourselves to going out to some other group in the community, minimum of 3 times a year, to be part of their group. So we're not going out to proselytize, we're out to network, to communicate, to, and there are many groups that are often seen as other within our community that we can reach out to and learn more about, and that I'm sure many of us, including me, are ignorant of their beliefs and their ways, and so I would really like to be able to do that. So, yeah, those are just some of the things that we talked about. Thank you.
Okay, thank you to Carol, Claire. All right. Joan, would you like to come forward?
I want to begin by saying heartfelt gratitude to Jacob, to Ethel, and to Claire for sharing that. I was so happy because it was a group process yesterday, and to share some of that shared wisdom this morning is of huge value to me. So just a moment of silence to pay honor to that wisdom and to remind you that all of you will get notes from that meeting, and I'll be referring back to that later on. So a moment of gratitude. Mina Wanaskal, good morning to all of you. It's with great pleasure that I'm able to be here with you in person. Egasane, thank you for that welcome. And I'll be talking about my choice of words a little later. So I've been asked to share just a few reflections with you regarding the day that 18 of us shared yesterday, exploring what an eighth principle journey might mean for this fellowship. Last November, UUs from across Canada voted in a new principle, an eighth principle, and it reads, individual and communal action that accountably dismantles racism and systemic barriers to full inclusion in ourselves and in our institutions. Now, I'm going to try to watch my words because I don't want to be duplicating. So if I hesitate a little bit, bear with me, because I'm going to try to keep things in mind of what has already been shared. I do want to pay honor that this fellowship has been actively seeking to address concerns such as these, both before the Eighth Principle creation and since. The eighth principle has refocused energies for many UUs across the country to work to give this type of anti-oppression greater reality. And that energy was very evident yesterday as we shared a willingness to review how we as individuals and a community live out our lives. Participants considered three basic questions. What are some of the ways in which we operate that we'd like to stop? What are some practices which we'd like to continue? And are there new ways of being that we'd like to start? Stop, continue, and start, in light of the challenge of the eighth principle. So I've just chosen a few basic phrases that I want to share with you, and then how that relates to what we did yesterday and what we are inviting the community to do together in the days ahead. The first one is that it's strength-based. While it's clear that we are indeed a part of a much larger society in which inequities, privilege, and violence have been perpetrated, when we begin to review our ways of being, it's my encouragement that we start with a strength-based approach. Naming and acknowledging the strengths and resources within this fellowship, and from that positive base, gain the energy to engage with areas of change. One of the opening statements with which we began our conversation yesterday was this fellowship's own vision statement from 2019. We envision a vibrant, diverse, and inclusive home for spiritual exploration and social action. While there are serious questions to be entertained as to whether this vision has come fully alive, its creation indicates a strong positive goal within this community, which is at heart for many of you. Next phrase, joie de vivre, joy of living. Some of the greatest social activists have been clear that social action needs to be balanced with joy. People need to have elements of joy to empower and carry them through. And I'm just going to share one of my favorite quotes from UU theologian Howard Thurman. He said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask instead what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." This is not a person who said that naively. African American, violence of civil rights. He lived through a lot of trauma, both for himself, his family, his community, and the larger world about him. And yet, his call is to find out what makes you come alive and go do it. And what was exciting to me was that not only in our time yesterday was there high energy, and that's already been mentioned, but some of the proposed actions are meant to once again bring joie de vivre alive for all. There were some good ideas. Potlucks, dancing, music variety. We had some of that this morning. Activities within the larger community. The list was quite extensive. And fun. So don't forget the whole person on our journey to anti-oppression. This journey's shared as well, and there have been a couple of people that have already talked about that. So I'm just going to take a quick glance. Right. The one piece I want to highlight from my notes is that as unique as people in this fellowship are, there was at least one person who at the end shared that they were surprised to see that there were some overlapping interests that were being identified. And we didn't finish the process yesterday. This is what you're going to be invited to participate in. You're going to get the notes. And at the end of the day, our five small groups highlighted four, sometimes five, areas of like priority areas and how you could give those life. We will be inviting you to take a look at some of those priorities and consider whether you affirm them, then put a check mark beside the note, just so that your leaders can see where strong shared interest lies. And if you not only share interest in it, but you think you would like to become involved, then put a check plus with your initials beside it. And trust that your leaders will get back to you. Okay, another piece that I want to share is a single word, journey. It is not only shared, but it is a journey. This has been and will continue to be a journey with room to invite growing participation. Continue with outside partners, which you have done, and potentially add some new ones. Unitarian Universalists are not a people of dogmas and creed, but a democratic people supporting exploration, well-being, and justice. The journey allows us to celebrate our strengths as well as name our growth areas, behaviors, and views that we want to either stop, continue, or learn something new. We are all on this journey. Each of us has strengths to offer and room to learn and grow. At several points in our conversation yesterday, participants named an approach of how we will be together on this journey. And wisdom was borrowed from our UU youth and young adults and their approach of oops and ouch. And you have some people here who can elaborate on that. So I'm going to leave that for now, except that I want to strongly affirm that. Sometimes when we have an ouch, we get quiet and pull away and get a little bit passive-aggressive. Not that that ever happens here. We also, all of us, including myself, make mistakes and need to be able to say, oops, I'm sorry. Anyway, there is a great deal of wisdom here about how to incorporate that. All right. I'm getting close to the end. Another one I want to choose, a phrase, and this comes back from decades ago when I was studying and doing my Master of Divinity and Peace Studies. And I was studying especially Asian and Latin American theologians. And they talked repeatedly about reflection and praxis. You need to do thinking and learning and exploration, and you need to put it into action. We had one person who couldn't join us yesterday who actually cared so much about this that he sent a message into the group. And I was so glad it was shared and it was affirmed a number of times. I'm not going to say any more of what I have written here, except to say that whatever we talk about, and you use are good at talking, we also need to work to have the rubber meet the road and grow. I do want to just say one thing. When I talk about learning, there were wonderful ideas about learning from guests, inviting people in, asking them openly about their practices, and then going out and learning from their practices. And I do want to say that my reason for choosing my opening words in Innu or Cree is because part of my journey that began before the Eighth Principle but has been affirmed by the Eighth Principle has been to open up my life to other people. And I'm now blessed by having in my defined family people of Innu and Cree background as well as Black American. And it was thinking of them that I chose those opening words in Innu. So I wanted you to know that. I just feel so blessed by what opening these doors to wider relationships has meant. So I have a final note, and it regards inspiration. And I think Jacob has said it well. I just want to affirm that at the end we had a checkout round, and it was repeated several times about hope, inspiration. There was an acknowledgement that this isn't the first time this group has had hope, and sometimes hope falls flat on its face. Yet even though that was shared, and it's important that it's shared, we still ended up with a feeling of hope. And that is my wish for this fellowship and its ongoing journey. And I have a reading from Rebecca Parker, and I tried to cut it back a bit. The full reading is called Choose to Bless the World, and I will read just part of it. Your gifts, whatever you discover them to be, can be used to bless or curse the world. The mind's power, the strength of hands, the reaches of the heart, the gift of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, waiting. Any of these can serve to feed the hungry, bind up wounds, welcome the stranger. Praise what is sacred. Do the work of justice or offer love. You must answer this question. What will you do with your gifts? Choose to bless the world. The choice to bless the world is more than an act of will, a moving forward into the world with the intention to do good. It is an act of recognition, a confession of surprise, a grateful acknowledgement that in the midst of a broken world, unspeakable beauty, grace, and mystery abide. The choice to bless the world can take you into solitude, to search for sources of power and grace, indigenous wisdom, healing, and liberation. More, the choice to bless the world will draw you into community. The endeavor shared, the heritage passed on, the companionship of struggle, the importance of keeping faith, the life of ritual and praise, the comfort of human friendship, the company of earth, that interdependent web, the chorus of life welcoming you. None of us alone can save the world. Together, that's another possibility entirely, and we are waiting.
Our closing reading is 698. By Wayne B. Arneson. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard, the path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. Take courage. For deep down, there is another truth. You're not alone. I will now extinguish the chalice. The flame is extinguished, but not our hope for the future, our courage in the face of crisis, or the love we share in all the world. So may it be. So I think at this time I do want to just offer a special thanks, and many special thanks. There has been just a lot of thought that has gone into the preparation for the workshop that has taken place, and just many thanks to everybody who was involved with that. Many thanks to everybody who was involved with making it available both on Zoom and here at the center. And again, many thanks to you, Joan, Carolyn, for facilitating it. Really appreciate it. So I think one big round of applause for all the many thanks that need to go out there that we would like to do. So thank you very much.